I want to warn you, you're going to be satisfied tonight. Everybody say, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely going to be satisfied with the outcome of this one. And I think the Lord gave it to us because it helps us understand what this whole life of faith is all about. You guys want to grab your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis 41. All right, we'll get there. Then we'll get rolling. We've been talking about faith is trusting God when things get confusing. And tonight we're going to be talking about faith is believing that God has a plan for me for his glory, no matter how bad life gets. Okay? And we said this morning was a pretty bad day, so this is what I want to do. I want you guys to imagine how long 2 years is. Some of you will put on 6, 7, 8, 9 inches, 30, 40, 50 pounds in the next 2 years. A lot can happen in 2 years. I want you to ponder this. How long really is 2 years? It's 24 months, it's 104 weeks, and it is 730 days. 730 days, okay? All right? So, that being said, it's a very long time, and I want you to ponder, now you're in jail. And you've been betrayed by your brothers, and now you've done what was right according to this man and his wife, and you didn't sleep with his wife, and you're in jail. And your mind starts saying, I was sold as a slave from my own brothers, and I wasn't even worth killing. I hate them. And when I get out, I'm going to wait. Will I ever get out? Potiphar's wife lied about me. Is this what I get for trying to trust God with my purity? I put the cupbearer ahead of myself. God gave me the ability to interpret dreams. And where does that land me? 24 months in prison. Does God really love me? Can I really trust God? Has he left me? Is God even real? And then God sends a dream. He sends a dream to the known king of that time, the Pharaoh, and he has this dream that greatly disturbs him. And you guys remember the very last verse we read is, the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. And we see in chapter 41, the king has this dream and he's troubled by it. And suddenly the cupbearer remembers, oh yeah, there's this guy in jail who knows how to interpret dreams. The king goes through all his different interpreters and his wise people, and he's getting pretty angry by now. And he summons Joseph up. Now, I got two questions for you. Is 2 years long enough in prison without hearing from God? Is it long enough to stop trusting God? Many of us would. How about this? 13 years. He was 17 years old when he was taken as a slave. And in this next chapter, it actually says he was 30 years old. 13 years waiting, trusting. He's in these conversations in jail, and people are saying stuff. What are you talking about, Joseph? Why are you waiting on your God? Why are you trusting him? Look where it landed you. He gets called up to the Pharaoh, the king of that time, and I want you to pick it up in chapter 41, verse 16. And the Pharaoh says, I hear you can interpret dreams. And the very first phrases that come out of his mouth in verse 16 is, I cannot do it. Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. So he goes on to interpret the dream of Pharaoh, and he says, Pharaoh, you're going to have 7 amazing years of harvest and rain and all that good stuff. Get ready, because you're going to have 7 years of famine after that. It's going to spread over the whole world. And he says, by the way, Pharaoh, God gave you 2 dreams to make sure this was set in stone. You are going to have a famine. Get ready. In verses 39 to 40, it says, then it says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God made all this known to you, there's no one discerning as wise as you. You'll be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So in a moment, he became second in charge, and he starts asking this question, is this what God planned all along? Did God allow me to go into slavery so I'd be second in charge of the world power at that time? Is this the answer to that question? Why did all this bad happen to me? I would say not yet, because for the next 7 years, he collected a lot of harvest, and then famine hit, and the text says it hit everywhere. And in 41:57, it says the whole world came to Egypt to buy food from Joseph. That's what it says. Look at it. Verse 57, the whole world came to Egypt to buy food from who? When people are starving and I've got all the food, who's the most powerful man in the room?
You.
That's right, okay? And Joseph had the food and he had it all saved up. So a famine hit the world and people were coming from all over the world. Did God have him go through that hardship so that he could save the world? And who do we know is in the world at this time? His what? His brothers. Who said he wasn't worth killing because they wouldn't benefit from it. Now, I have to be honest with you guys. I don't know how I feel about saving my brothers who ruined my life. I want to do some reading tonight because I'm going to let the text speak for itself. This is, in my opinion, probably one of the most exciting accounts in Scripture. You're going to feel justice. You're going to feel like, yeah, okay? And it doesn't always work out this way, but we're going to see where Joseph trusted God, and we're going to see God fulfill his trust and faith in him. Let's pick it up, chapter 42. We're going to start in verse 1. Now, Jacob's his dad. Now, when Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, why do you keep looking at each other? He continued, I've heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down there, buy some food for us so we may live and not die. Then 10 of his Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others because he was afraid the harm might come to him as well. So Israel and Jacob are the same name, same person. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain. For the famine was in the land of Canaan as well, the land of Israel. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the person who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. Everybody say, oh yeah. Okay, so you guys remember the dreams I told you about? They were bowing down to him. Verse 7, as soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized him, but he pretended to be a stranger, and he spoke harshly to them. Where do you come from, he asked. From the land of Canaan, they replied, to buy food. Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them and said to them, you are spies. You have come to see where this land is unprotected. No, my lord, they answered. Your servants have come to buy food. We're all the sons of one man, your servants and honest men. We're not spies. No, he said to them, you've come to see where this land is unprotected. But they replied, your servants were 12 brothers, the sons of one man who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father and one is no more. Now Joseph said to them, it is just as I told you, you are spies and this is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes to me here. Send one of your number to get your brother. The rest of you will be kept in prison so that your words may be tested to see if you're telling the truth. If you are not, then you will surely, as Pharaoh lives, you are spies. And he put them all in custody for 3 days. And on the third day, Joseph said to them, do this and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison while the rest of you go and take grain back to your starving households. But you must bring your youngest brother to me so that your words may be verified that you may not die. This they proceeded to do. They said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen to them, and that's why this distress has come on us." So hold. They thought they'd be free of this guy if they just sold him into slavery. 13 years later, they're still plagued by the idea that they sold their brother into slavery. Verse 22, now Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we have to give an account for his blood." They did not realize that Joseph could understand them since he was using an interpreter. He turned away from them and began to weep, but then came back and spoke to them again. He had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grains, to put each man's silver back into his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. After this was done for them, they loaded their grain and their donkey, and they left. And at the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey. And he saw his silver in the mouth of his sack. "My silver has been returned," he said to the brothers. "Here it is in my sack." Their hearts sank, and they turned to each other trembling and said, "What is this that God has done to us?" And when they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. They said, "The man who is lord over the land had spoke harshly to us, and he treated us as though we were spies. But we said to them, 'We're honest men. We're not spies. We're 12 men. We're 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in Canaan.' Then the man who is lord over the land said to us, 'This is how I'll know whether you're honest men or not. Leave one of your brothers here with me and take food for your starving household and go. But bring your youngest brother to me so that I will know that you are not spies but honest men. But then I will give your brother back to you and you can trade in the land.' As they were emptying their sacks, that there in each man's sack was his whole pouch of silver. When they and their father saw the money, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said, 'What have you deprived me of my children? Joseph is now no more, and Simeon is no more, and now you want to take Benjamin from me? Everything is against me.'" Family's having some conflict here, guys. "Then Reuben said to his father, 'You may put both of my sons to death if I don't bring him back to you. Entrust him to me, and I will bring him back.'" So here we have it. Dad says, he goes on to tell, "No way. Why did you tell him you have a younger brother?" And then Judah steps up and he says, "I double promise I will return Benjamin back to you. I guarantee it." And in chapter 43, we want to pick it up in verse 15. "So the men took the gifts and doubled the amount of silver and Benjamin also. They hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of the house, 'Take these men to my house. Slaughter an animal, make a meal, they are to eat with me at noon.' The man did as Joseph told him and took them to the house, to his house. Now the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. They thought, 'We were brought here because of the silver that was back in our sacks the first time. He wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkeys.' So they went up to Joseph's steward, spoke to him at the entrance to the house. 'We beg your pardon, our Lord,' they said. 'We came down here for the first time to buy food. But at the place where we stopped for the night, we opened our sacks and each of us found our silver, the exact weight at the mouth of the sack. So we brought it back with us. We have also brought additional silver for us to buy food. We don't know who put our silver in our sacks.'" Check out his response. "'It's all right,' he said. 'Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given your treasure in your sacks. I received your silver.' Then he brought Simeon out to them. The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them fresh water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys. They prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon because they had heard that they were to eat there. And when Joseph came home, they presented him the gifts that they had brought into the house. They bowed down before him on the ground. He asked them how they were, and they asked, 'How is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living?' They replied, 'Your servant, our father, is still alive.' And they bowed down, prostrating themselves before him." How many times is that? That's going on three times now. This is getting good. "As he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, 'Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?' And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. And deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried and looked for a place to weep. And he went into his private room and he wept there. After he washed his face, he came out and he controlled himself and said, serve the food. They served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with them, by themselves. But Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to the Egyptians. The men had been seated before him in the order of their age, from the firstborn to the youngest, and they looked at each other in astonishment. What is going on? He put all 11 of us in the order of our age. They're all adult men. You can't always tell adult men have different ages. You just can't tell. He puts them in order. When the portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much as anyone else's. So they feasted and drank freely with him. So Joseph sends them back home with his baby brother, and he puts his own silver cup inside Benjamin's sack. And then he sends a steward out after him and says, what have you done? I treated you as my guest and you broke my trust. And in chapter 45, look with me. I know we're doing a lot of reading, but it gets so, so good. Joseph brings him back. He kind of treats him a little harshly. In chapter 45, verse 1, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loud that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. So up to this point, Judah starts begging, the one who came up with the idea to sell him, starts begging, please don't take him, take me, let Benjamin go. And Joseph says, it's enough. He sends everybody out, breaks down crying, and look at verse 3. Now Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. And when they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Everybody wake up for a minute. I know I've been doing a lot of reading. He makes himself known. He tells his brothers, take a chill pill. I'm not going to hurt you. And he says, don't get yourself worked up. Don't feel like crud because of what you did to me, because that was rotten, right? But don't feel like crud about it. Why? God was working things out to save the world. And he used me to do it. Now, what do you do when things are terrible? Do you give up, walk away from God, and say, trusting him doesn't work for me? Well, how would that have worked for Joseph? I want you to ponder that. Well, he goes on to say, brothers, go get dad. Don't fight along the way. And Joseph meets his family in the land of Goshen, which is just outside of Egypt. And when his dad lays eyes on him, his dad says like this. This is what the text pictures. Has him throwing his hands in the air, throwing his head back, and taking a deep breath. I can die now. So the family all settles in Goshen for 17 more years. And the Pharaoh says to Joseph, get your family here, load them up, give them the best. If they can do what you do, put them in charge of all my flocks. And after 17 years, dad dies. What do you think the brothers are afraid of? When dad dies? Payback. Right? Dad's dead. It's time for you guys to pay. All right. Turn with me to chapter 50, and we're just going to close it up here. I want you guys just to get the glimpse. What do we do when things get hard for a long season of time? Chapter 50, and look over in verse 15. Now, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong things we did?" So they sent word to Joseph, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they've committed to treating you so badly. Now, please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, he wept. His brothers came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it to accomplish the good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and your children." And he reassured them, and he spoke kindly to them. And Joseph stayed in Egypt along with his family and his father's family. He lived 110 years to the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of that name and Manasseh were placed at the birth of Joseph's niece. Then Joseph said to his brother Israelites, "I'm about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you out of this land. He promised to my father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones out of this place." So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Now, I know it's a lot of reading, and I don't hardly ever do that much reading. Do you think those brothers were really free when they sent their brother into slavery? No, because he was 17 when he went in, 30 when he became in charge of Egypt, and it said 17 more years. So now they're pushing 50, and they still are living in fear. Freedom does not come from doing things opposite of God's way. So as you guys glance down through that, it says he wept when they were apologizing again. Can you imagine forgiving somebody and they're still asking you to forgive you 17 years later? He weeps out loud, and once again, what does Joseph know about God? What's he know? God has a plan even when life is cruddy. Let me say it again. God has a plan even when life is cruddy. Sometimes we don't get to see the outcome of our faith. But Joseph here did. And I want you guys to know he was a part of rescuing the people of Israel, who again, we have our Savior through. So I want you guys to bow your heads for a minute. I want you to just kind of like ignore the people around you. I want you to ponder these two choices that Joseph had. Choice number one, turn to himself, hate his brothers, sleep with Potiphar's wife, and walk away from God. Choice number two is trust God in the really bad times. Keep following, forgive his brothers, run from sexual sin, and enjoy the fact that he's got a right relationship with God. We know later on, he got married, he had kids, and God rewarded him. And in the end, he could see the sovereign hand of God. In the end, he was free. Now, I don't know what kind of church background you guys come from. I just want you to ponder this. If the faith you know, the faith in the Lord Jesus, has not led you to freedom, it's not faith in the Lord Jesus. He proclaimed that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And Joseph found freedom in his old age because he trusted in the goodness of God. Faith is trusting God when your family falls apart and those closest to you aren't there for you. Faith is trusting God has a plan even when you don't see it. Faith is pushing past those feelings. When those feelings start telling you God can't be trusted, you start telling them to get in the back seat and you choose to let the truth that God can be trusted drive your life. It's choosing to believe that God can be trusted in the middle of the bad. Guys, we trust God by faith when things are hard because God is working out his plan for his glory and for our good. I'm going to pray, and I don't even pretend to know that what you guys, each of you, are going through in your family situations and your school situations. But I do know that God gave us the story, the factual story of Joseph for a reason, to show us that God can be trusted, that joy comes from doing what God wants, and true freedom comes from a relationship with him. Father, tonight, my heart's desire is that my young friends find the freedom of trusting you. Maybe perhaps that would lead them to forgiving people in their life. Maybe that would perhaps lead them to the right choices. Lord, thank you for this example, but really it's just about you. We have joys knowing that you haven't changed. Thank you that Joseph trusted you by faith in some of the most difficult times. Tonight, help us. Help us. Thank you for giving us hope that there is times that we get to see the object of our faith and you reward us in the moment. But give us strength to trust you for the times we cannot see and for the times we have to wait for that reward. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.